It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
And good evening. The Royals business trip continues with another victory. Royals take game two from the White Sox. They get back to 10 games above 500. I'm more than happy to talk about the game with you. But there's so much to discuss. Let's get to it. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I think we all went into this seven-game road trip with expectations of back-to-back winning series. Okay, maybe some of you said you can split the four-game set upcoming with Detroit. But this road trip, there's no doubt about it. It needs to be a winning road trip. Personally, I want five wins on this road trip. Three in Chicago and then four in Motown against the Detroit Tigers, who, you know, traded Mark Canha, traded a reliever, traded a starter. The White Sox traded everybody today, or have traded everyone over the past 48 hours. White Sox have now dropped 16 straight. They're on pace to be the worst team record-wise in baseball history. So nice job, Royals, doing what we need you to do, and that is handle your business here on this seven-game road trip. This business trip that you're on. But I want to get your grades on today's trade deadline. What is the reaction of the Royals fan base to today's and really the moves over the past 2.5 weeks? How would you grade J.J. Piccolo in this front office and the way that they went about things this year at the deadline? Bringing in Hunter Harvey, Michael Lorenzen, Paul DeJong, and earlier today, bringing in Lucas Ursig. Bringing in the hard-throwing righty from Oakland, Lucas Ursig. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Again, 913-586-7610. Now, real quick, as far as the game is concerned, I laid it out pretty straightforward on the pregame show. This White Sox team, awful, right? I just gave you the numbers, just gave you the pace. On pace for 122 losses. This White Sox team, how could I make a comparison? To make a football comparison, this White Sox team is like playing against a Phillip Rivers team, a Jay Cutler team, a Derek Carr team, where if you just stick to your fundamentals, if you just do your job, they're going to give you a chance to win the game. They're going to make a mistake. They're going to open up the window, open up the door, and you can break it down and walk away with a victory. Royals pull off the 4-3 victory in large part because of an outstanding job on the base pass by this team. Outstanding effort once again from Michael Wacha. The bullpen wasn't shut out, right? They didn't put up zeros. But the bullpen does its job and protects the lead. The bullpen records 6 outs, 4 via the punch out. So what the Royals did tonight, nothing extravagant, nothing that is going to be headline worthy like what we saw last night from Bobby Witt Jr. No, there wasn't anyone that put the team on their back and carried them to this W. Everyone just did their job. The Royals executed, and in the biggest moments, Chicago did not. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's start off out in Overland Park. Roy, you're hitting leadoff, Roy. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals get back to 10 games above 500. What's going on?
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'll speak on the deadline today a little bit for you. You keep saying that there's not a reason that this team should fall out of the race, whether it's the wild card chase, division, whatever. So from a postseason standpoint, I'm a little disappointed with what we did today. I think Ursaig's great. I love the team control and all that. Lorenzen's been in the postseason before. I mean, was he on the roster for the Rangers last year? I'm not sure. But point is, we didn't bring any guys that have that real postseason, have any heroics under their belt, which would have been nice. There, I don't know how much was available. We also didn't bring in a great bat. I think a good veteran presence would have been nice. I'm not a Paul DeYoung guy. You might be. I don't think he's very good. I was a little disappointed that he was the only bat we brought in. So I'm curious to get your thoughts there. But generally, I think the pitching acquisitions are okay. But I wanted to see some more maybe postseason experience to kind of lead the guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, great phone call. Appreciate it. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. That's what I want to find out. I'm interested in your reaction because, well, I gave you my thoughts earlier today on the On Deck show, but as far as Paul DeYoung, he's an upgrade over Nick Lofton. I didn't see a need, and you, I think, know where I stand now of how I would have attacked this trade deadline. I did not see a reason to get into a bidding war. Did not see a reason to part with anything in the minor leagues that you prize. And listen, maybe Caden Wallace or Mason Barnett, maybe Will Klein or Jared Dickey turn into a difference maker at the big league level. Maybe. And if that happens, we'll judge today differently. You know, if one of the guys you traded away turns into a difference maker, well then, Ursaig and Hunter Harvey better be reliable, consistent relievers for years to come in Kansas City. But personally, I don't think that Wallace or Klein or Barnett or Dickey, I don't think that they are difference makers at the big league level. So to bring in exactly what this team needs, strikeout stuff, high velocity, swing and miss, guys that can get some chase in high leverage moments. I mean, two guys that immediately become your top two relievers. Now, you're right. Sure. Roy, they don't have postseason experience. And no, Michael Lorenzen did not appear in the postseason last year. For Texas, he was with the Philadelphia Phillies and appeared in their run to the NLCS. Not a lot. I believe a game in each, yeah, a game in the NLCS and a game in the NLDS. So he has some postseason experience, but as far as a closer with World Series experience, with seasons of October experience, I'm not sure if that guy was available. You know, the Aroldis Chapman, the Craig Kimbrell, the Kenley Jansen. Now, text line, you can let me know if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that postseason experience was available for teams shopping in the reliever market. You know, Tanner Scott, Ursaig, you know, he's 2 years in, only pitched at Oakland. You're right, he hasn't pitched in meaningful home games. He's never pitched in a meaningful home game. It's always been on the road when he's pitching in front of a big crowd. So, no doubt about it. Tests still need to be passed by these guys. But to be honest with you, Roy, even if they had playoff experience, they still need to show us in Kansas City that they got the goods. Now, that's why I was never one to throw out names of, oh, I really want this reliever. You know who I want? I want someone good. I like the numbers and the stat cast metrics and ranks and percentiles that I see from Hunter Harvey and Lucas Ursaig. But if that doesn't translate to execution in big spots and big games in August, September, and next year, well then, Who cares what the numbers say? You can bring in a Hall of Fame reliever. You can bring in, I mean, shoot, I was watching a Hall of Fame reliever last night give it up in Josh Hader. I was watching one of the most sought-after relievers at this year's deadline, Kyle Finnegan of the Nationals. I watched him give it up last night. We've been spoiled in Kansas City. The Jeff Montgomerys, the Greg Hollands, the Wade Davises, even the young Joaquin Sorias. There's five or six, maybe eight of those guys right now in Major League Baseball. So I understand. But I think the Royals did as good as they could without changing the demand, if that makes sense. If the Royals went out and got into a deeper bidding war where you are parting with something that you prize, well, then suddenly my expectation, my demand of stay in the race until September would have to change. If the Royals were to part with a starting pitching prospect that, you know, I'm high on, a Ben Kuderna, if they would have parted with one of those catching prospects in Carter Jensen or Blake Mitchell, you part with something like that, I'm not going to be satisfied with just being in the race in September. You part with something like that, you better deliver the postseason in 2024. And to me, what the Royals traded away does not change the demand that I have from this team. I'm still looking at this squad where if they fall short of October, I think I'll be able to explain it away. I think I'll be able to digest it. You part with a prospect that could have made a big impact for this team in the next few years? No, you got to deliver me a postseason run. Again, a lot like the James Shields trade. You trade away Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi, you better deliver in those 2 years with James Shields on your team, and they did. I don't view Harvey, Ursig as turning up the heat on this team in 2024. That's me. Offensively, I wasn't looking for a big bat. I'm good with MJ. I'm good with Izzy in center. And I'm good with Hunter Renfroe in right field. You know, what I wanted to do was make it so Matt Quatrero doesn't have to put Salvi and Freddie Freeman in the lineup every single night. You know, give him an option to where there's another option in the seventh spot to have some right-handed pop. Now Freddie can go to the bench, and Paul DeJong can be the occasional designated hitter. He can be the guy that late in the game, when you look to the bench, it's no longer just Frazier, Hampson, Lofton, and Dairon Blanco. I mean, just no pop whatsoever. Now you're going to have the Freddie Freeman on the bench or the Paul DeJong on the bench. I'm not saying Paul DeJong's a guy that needs everyday at-bats, but on a Matt Quatrero team, he's going to be in there 2, 3, 4 times a week, and his 18 home runs are already third most on the team. Right, Bobby has 19, Salvi has 19, Paul DeJong now third on the team with 18 big flies. 913-586-7610. I believe I addressed everything there, Roy. I appreciate the phone call, man. You know, you were hoping for a bigger bat, a better bat. For how long? I mean, well, I guess I should have asked this when you were on, but what position? Who are you taking off the field? You're not taking Izzy or Renfroe or MJ off the field, are you? Obviously, Bobby's going nowhere. You don't want Vinny or Salvi to leave. You like Freddie Freeman. Mikel and Massey, I like them at third base and second base, respectively. I don't know where else I'm in desperate need for an upgrade. Because I've never looked at this offense and said, I need you to lead me. You need to be the reason why we win on a nightly basis. No, that's never the case. That hasn't been the case at any point this season. This is a squad that's led by its pitching, defense, and team speed. And boy, they were all on display tonight. Michael Wacha, on the bump, 7 innings of 2-run baseball, his 9th quality start of the season. The Royals, 54th quality start of the season. 54 quality starts in 108 games. Amazing. The defense of Michael Garcia, Salvador Perez throwing out a would-be base stealer. And then, of course, the base running of Bobby Witt Jr. as he comes around to score what turns out to be the game-winning run. Bobby gave Vance Wilson the chance to send him home, and Vance did just that. Bobby, the fastest player in the game. Fangraphs says he's the best defender in the game, and his batting average of .347 ranks and gives him the title best hitter in the game. Royals win the game, 4-3 the final score. Let's go back to the phone calls, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Walter. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals get back to 10 games above 500. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. How you doing, man? And I called in earlier this season letting you know about how I wanted Garcia traded. But ever since we moved him down in the lineup, I think he has been perfect for us. And, you know, I agree with you 100% like across the board here with what the Royals did at this deadline. We took what we got. I think Paul DeJong will be a great bat, batting .230 with 18 jacks, coming into the third highest now on the team. And, you know, we didn't really have to, like, change anything up for the future. I am very happy with what this team is doing. I like to see guys like Michael Massey stepping up with a nice little solo shot to get us started. And then the girth of our lineup with Bobby and Vinny, the heart of the team, getting it done. I am very happy with what this Royals team is doing. I agree with you 100% across the board. There is no expectations for me going into this postseason besides for this team to just reach for the stars. And I mean, gosh, I'm just really, really happy with the ball that the Royals are playing, and I hope they can keep it up. And if anybody's mad about the prospects that we gave up for Ursek, for Paul DeJong, I mean, I don't know what you want. You can't complain about missing a leadoff hitter, and you can't complain about not having a bullpen piece. But then when you give up just a few prospects for it, you jump all over our front office. So I'm very happy with what the Royals have been doing, and I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on how the rest of the season is going to play out.
Walter, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, that's anyone's guess, right? I'll tell you this. Royals need to handle their business on this road trip. Brady Singer on the bump tomorrow, and then a 4-game set in Detroit. Now, following that, you know, there's the month that is going to decide it all. From August 12th to September 12th. It's 29 games. 23 of those 29 games are against teams that are currently in the playoffs. And, you know, your 7 remaining games against Cleveland are in that chunk. 3 against Philly, who I believe is the best team in baseball and the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. You have the Yankees in there, the Red Sox in there. Well, the Royals have a month straight of tests, a month straight of playoff games, honestly, for Bobby and Vinny, MJ and Cole and Brady, you know, for Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia. It's going to be a month straight of playoff games. Walter, I don't know how old you are, but and I don't know how old you were back in 2014 and 2015, but for a lot of you, it's going to be a month straight of playoff games. It's going to be amazing. You know, I saw someone on Twitter today, a diehard Royals fan, talk about the last thing he thought of when he went to bed last night was Royals baseball. The first thing that he thought of this morning was Royals baseball. That's the good old days right there. That's October of 2014, throughout 2015 and into 2016, where you knew who was on the mound. You knew in the lineup who was going good. You knew the schedule. You knew who was coming up. Yeah. Having the Royals day in and day out in the car with you, in the backyard, in the garage, at the picnic, at the cookout. Listening to Jake and Stu and Ryan and Denny A month straight of playoff baseball. What's to come? Well, here's how I'll break it down to you, Walter. So long as the Royals maintain their standard, there's no reason why they won't be in the postseason. I certainly can't guarantee it. You know, injuries and other fluky things have happened for decades, so who knows what's going to happen? But if the Royals' rotation remains elite, if their defense remains one of the game's best, and if their base running remains elite, they'll be there in the end. Because this offense, I think, can stay middle of the road with the additions of Lorenzen, Urcig, and Hunter Harvey. I think that bullpen can get to the 15 to 17 range as far as bullpens are concerned. You know, middle of the road. And I think you can get by with that. I think that can get you in. And then, as you know, just get in and God knows what could happen. When you're lining up a Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Urcig, Harvey, I mean, who knows who's going to use October as a catapult for the rest of their career. You remember what 2014 meant to Mike Moustakas? What 2015 did to Ben Zobrist? So I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen, but my expectation is a month straight of playoff baseball is going to harden this team. If the rotation can stay healthy, they'll come out of that month straight of playoff baseball very much in it. And then that hardened group of Royals will attack the final 3 weeks of the season, get to the postseason, and then it's just all gravy. And then I'm happily going to battle with these guys. Up against Baltimore, New York, Minnesota, or Cleveland, Houston, Seattle, bring them all on. You give me Bobby and Salvi, Reagan, Singer, Lugo, Waka, I'll go up against anybody. Royals take game two in Chicago, 4-3, the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
The 1-2 pitch. Fastball punch past third into left field, base hit. Blanco takes off. He rounds third. He's in to score standing. Now Wilson waves win around third. The throw goes to second. Pasquantino's tagged out, but Witt slides in safely.
Vinny Pasquantino puts the Royals ahead for good. A two-run, single, right? He's thrown out at second base. A two-run opposite field single from Vinny Pasquantino in the top of the eighth inning. The top of the eighth inning for a second straight night sees the Royals mount another comeback victory. Nobody in the American League has more comeback dubs than your boys in blue. They pick up their 29th comeback victory of the season tonight, knocking off the White Sox 4-3. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals fell behind in the first inning as Michael Waka gives up a leadoff triple to Nicky Lopez. He would score on a wild pitch. Michael Massey ties it up with a solo bomb in the third, but Andrew Vaughn puts the White Sox ahead with a solo home run of his own in the fourth. That made it 2-1 Chicago. It would remain 2-1 Chicago until that eighth inning. A leadoff walk from Michael Garcia is followed a few batters later by a one-out walk from Freddie Fermin. So first and second with nobody out. First and third with one out brings Bobby Witt Jr. to the dish as the base running in that eighth inning was extraordinary. Again, Michael Garcia with the leadoff walk. He advances to second base on a wild pitch. Garrett Hampson flies out to the right side. Michael Garcia tags up on that fly ball to right field. So he's on third when Freddie Fermin draws that walk. So it's first and third for Bobby Witt Jr., who goes down to get a slider that's just on the very bottom of the zone, and he bloops it into shallow center field. Luis Robert cannot track it down. Garcia comes in and ties the game as it's 2-2. Bobby's on first. Fermin pinch ran for by Dairon Blanco, so you have speed on the bases. Dairon's on second, Bobby's on first, and Vinny Pasquantino falls behind in the count 1-2. He sees a fastball up, out over the dish. He shoots it to the opposite field. That scores Blanco from second, and the cutoff throw from left field. It's cut off by Nicky Lopez, and someone's screaming, two. Instead of trying to get Bobby Witt Jr. at the dish, Nicky throws it to second and ends up getting Vinny Pasquantino. I don't know if they just waved the white flag as an infield and said, well, there's no way we can get Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, they could have. If someone's screaming four, I think Bobby would have been held at third. It would have been first and third, sure, with one out, and who knows where that game goes, but they let Bobby score. Vinny's thrown out at second, so it's two runs in, but two outs. Anyway, I want to hear what Vinny Pasquantino had to say about that play after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Well, I think there's a few things that go on in that play. It's kind of reminiscent for Royals fans to the Bautista play in 20, whatever year it was, 14, 15. And it's something that, coming up in the minor leagues, I mean, we studied that play. I mean, annoyingly, JJ, I'm talking to you, like in baseball 101. I mean, we looked at that play every morning. But it paid off tonight, which is the guy who hits the ball, go. Like, you know, push it to second. The guy who's running, obviously, Bobby hustles all the time, and he's the fastest player in the league, so it helps when that's the case. And then Vance, I mean, Vance is the MVP of that play. Sending him there, reading where their left fielder threw the ball in to their shortstop. You know, it's just a really, really good baseball play. So I think we're all pretty pumped about it when things you study like that, when it pays off in a game like that where we really needed it. So
we see you study it. I mean, how often did that come up in the minor leagues for you guys? It's a spring training thing, or
It was an instructs thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was literally baseball 101. We were in a classroom for 30, 45 minutes studying different plays, watching. It was at the time where I don't remember who was in the World Series that year, but watch the game the night before, come in the next morning, kind of talk about what happened in the game. I think it was the Nationals and the Astros, because there was like a base running play down the first baseline where somebody got called out for obstruction or something like that. That's what I remember about that time. It was the Bautista play and that play at first base where somebody got caught, being in the baseline.
There he is, the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino, who drove in two runs there in the eighth inning and turns a tie game into a two-run Royals lead. They would go on to win 4-3. Vinny, now with 20 go-ahead RBI this season, that's third in the American League. Vinny hitting .356 this year with runners in scoring position. All right, let's go to Ryan in Olathe. Ryan, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So good. I've got a few thoughts. First of all, I have to give credit to Jonathan Cannon. He looked good tonight.
Yeah, he did.
Second of all, I'm really happy with what JJ did at the deadline. We brought in some good pieces to the bullpen. They're going to make this team better this year. Whether it's Lorenzen or Marsh that goes to the pen, they are going to improve. Either one of them would improve the bullpen. Paul DeJong, that's a nice addition. And, like you said, I didn't really want to get into a bidding war. I don't want to give up a major prospect. 2024 is really not the year for that. So we were able to get some nice additions. We didn't do nothing, but we were able to prevent getting into a major bidding war with a big franchise. So I'm happy with what JJ did. My expectations are pretty much what yours are. Just stay in the race, and whatever happens beyond that, I'm more than happy with. And then I just have to give some props to Hunter Renfro. I mean, he's had an awful. He had an awful start to the season. He turned it around big time, and he's gotten to the point where he's about as reliable as anybody in that lineup, save for Bobby or Salvi. So that's really all I got, and I'll listen off the air. Thanks, bro.
Oh, great phone call as always, Ryan. I appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, Hunter Renfro's hitting .273 since the start of May. His OPS is .848 since the start of May. That's an all-star. Hunter Renfro's been an all-star for about 3 months now. Tonight, he reached base safely three times. Two walks and a double. A rocket double, too. Renfro's now reached base safely in 12 straight starts. He's hitting .325 in that stretch with more walks than strikeouts. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. Let's head out to Overland Park and talk with our buddy Connor. You're on the postgame show, Connor. What's going on, buddy?
Gosh, my man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good. Bobby Witt Jr. can do it all. Grand slam tonight, and then the game winner again tonight. So let's go Royals. Have a good night. I'll listen off the air.
Connor, nice to hear from you. Bobby tied it up. Last night, yes, he won it with a grand slam. All he did was just tie it up, you know. Ho-hum. What have you done for... Oh, well, I guess you tied it up. Bobby ties it up with that bloop single in the eighth inning, his 149th base hit. That's the most in baseball. He would score the game-winning run on Vinny's two-run single. That was his 88th run scored. That's the second most in baseball. That run that he drove in was his 76th RBI. Ties him with Shohei Ohtani for fifth most in Major League Baseball. Stay in Overland Park. Let's talk with Mike. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm fired up right now. You mentioned earlier, hey, what's our feeling on the trade deadline moves?
Yep.
I'm going to have to agree with CDOT from earlier that I give our moves a B. And that's a good B. It's a solid one because we got Lorenzen, Ursig, Harvey, and DeYoung. The moves we made in the bullpen, it really does breed competition in the bullpen. And if we go ahead and make a big move, it creates expectations for this team. And quite honestly, man, like we won 56 games last year. We're way ahead of any expectations. The guys that don't like the moves that we made this year, you know, in the trade deadline are probably MacArthur, Stratton, and Marsh. MacArthur is supposed to be our guy this year going into our closer. He's not gone ahead and delivered. Stratton, like, we're just don't want to pay him $5 million to leave. And Marsh hasn't looked good since May. You look at Lorenzen, he's got a 1.75 ERA against the Central. Ursig has like 12 holds and 3 saves with the A's. He's a very underrated guy there. And you bring in Harvey as well. We've seen him tonight. Yeah, he gave up a run, but he also got the hold. And then you have DeYoung coming in, who's a journeyman with power. He fits this mold, and he's really going to go ahead and push guys like Frazier and Lofton to go ahead and rise above. The real winners for tonight, I'd have to give it to Waka, going 7 strong, 2 earned. We only got 4 hits tonight. You got to also give it up for our base running, and Vance Wilson, man, he really shown why a good third base coach is so valuable, because you look at Bobby Ryan, he is going first to home. Yeah, the Bautista play from 2014 when Lorenzo Cain goes from first to home. Like, you look at Bobby when he's going from second to third, and he kind of flinches, and Vance Wilson's running him around because he sees where the play is coming to, right, and he ends up sending him, and sure enough, it's a game-winning run. Those plays are so valuable to go ahead and break it down into little things, and I love baseball because it's 7 out of 10 times you can fail and you're still considered a .300 average and you're a winner. Yeah. Going forward, you know, you'd said, hey, we're going about to have, you know, 2 months of playoff baseball. Dude, give me 2 months straight of 2014 wild card games. I was at that game, best game I ever been to, and if you're telling me that we got to go ahead and have that for the next 2 months, it just gives me goosebumps. I'm fired up.
Well, you
and,
should be.
You know, if we're able to go ahead and get into the playoffs, like, it wasn't our offense that did it. We had a great offense, but it was our bullpen guys. And we have, you know, right now, top three starting rotation in the MLB. Mm-hmm. We go ahead and back it up with a solid bullpen. Yeah, we don't have HDH, but we have these guys here that can really go ahead and, again, breed competition in the bullpen.
Yeah.
MacArthur and Stratton are on those guys. I'm really excited by the Urcig move. I really feel like he could be closer. Interested to see how that plays out.
No, you made the points, Mike. No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the phone call. No, I think you've honestly just gave a great segment of sports radio. I mean, a great breakdown of the game, a great breakdown of the trade deadline. You know, that's when you throw it to break and you say, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Great job. Great phone call, Mike. You know, you hit it all, man. All I can do is really piggyback off of what you said. I mean, the point about the competition in the bullpen, man, I mean, so very on the nose. And we're going to hear what Sam Long had to say after the game as he picks up his first save as a Royal. Wait till you hear the way that Sam Long's talking. He sounds exactly like what you're talking about, Mike. Like, he saw those moves today, yesterday. Right? He saw Lorenzen, he saw Urcig, and said, to hell with that, you ain't taking my job. I mean, I've heard, Vern, you're on the radio talk about, I'm the 13th man, right? I have options, I can go. Screw that. How about I blow 96 past that Baldwin kid? Get Sosa staring at a nasty breaker to finish off the game. A great phone call, Mike. The point about the bullpen is so on the money. And then your point about Bobby's base running and Vance sending them. Yeah, those are the plays that win games, that win playoff series, that win world titles. I mean, we could go through every single series that the Royals played in 14 and 15 as far as the postseason is concerned. And it's plays like that. It's who's going to flinch first? It's why I've, throughout the season, called this rotation, defense, and base running ability the most powerful weapons in the sport. Because it's Carlos Correa's inability to make a play. Daniel Murphy booting the ball. Jose Bautista making the ill-advised throw. Lucas Duda's inability to make a quality throw. Gerard Dyson making a great throw against the Angels. Lorenzo Cain against the Orioles. Now Mike Moustakas with the catch over the railing. Now base running, defense, and pitching is why you're going to win. It's why you've won this season. And when you're taking on a bad team, just do your job. When you're facing a team like this, just do your job and they'll give you the game at some point. So long as you're willing to pick it up and take it, they'll give you the game. Bobby took it last night. Royals took it. Bobby took it again tonight with the help of Vinny, Waka, Vance Wilson, the defense. Royals win 4-3. Michael Waka, since returning from that busted foot, he's made 7 starts and has an ERA below 2.5. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. We go to Drew. You're next up on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Drew. Oh, we lost Drew. All right, let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. And look, as far as the trade deadline, I think every trade that we made was good. I think Urcig is going to be the future closer, maybe starting tomorrow. Michael Lorenzen, I think, will be the fifth starter, and you move Alec Marsh to the bullpen. Look, I'm just excited for the future, and you didn't really give up much, but I'm just excited, you know, just staying contented, and, like, who knows how far this team can go with the team speed and everything. It's just pure excitement right now for me, and hopefully the Royals translate that Monday night when I go, because, you know, like I said last night, I'm going to be chanting MVP.
I got you, Garrett. I appreciate it, yeah. Hoping that you see a winner. Going to Monday's game against the Boston Red Sox. Hey, don't forget, if you want to go to Wednesday's game against the Boston Red Sox, I have 2 tickets. You can win them tomorrow afternoon on the On Deck Show. Be listening tomorrow at 12 noon. We do it each and every game day, 1 hour before first pitch. I give you a chance to win Royals tickets. So be listening tomorrow morning. Not only that, but Matt Quatrero joins Fesco in the morning tomorrow at 9 a.m. J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, will stop by Cody and Gold at 10:30. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals pick up win number 59. They're on pace to win 89. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Odyssey app.
The righty deals and a swing and a high fly ball. Hit well. Deep right center. Luis Robert back looking up. It's gone. It's a home run for Michael Massey.
Tied it up. Massey with his ninth home run of the season. A tasty sinker left in the middle of the dish. Massey did not miss it. A 404-foot blast to deep right center field. Ties the game up at one. It was a short-lived tie game because Michael Wacha would give up a solo bomb to Andrew Vaughn in the fourth, leaving a changeup elevated to Vaughn, and he sent that one over the left field wall. So 2-1 Chicago after four. That's the score in the eighth inning when the Royals, led by Bobby and Vinny, score three and win the game 4-3. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The Royals' business trip continues, and they pick up another win. Five more to go. One more in Chicago, and then four in Detroit. I don't care how they do it. I want three more wins. Michael Massey, that home run was his seventh against the White Sox in his career. He has a hit in 20 of his 24 games against his favorite team growing up. 24 games against him this year, excuse me, in his career. 24 games against the White Sox, he has a hit in 20 of them. He's batting .329 with a dozen extra base hits against the Pale Hose. And that home run that he hit in the third inning was the only hit the Royals were able to muster off of White Sox right-hander Jonathan Cannon. Seven innings, only that one home run to Michael Massey. He walked three, struck out two, but he was outstanding. Let's hear what Massey had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Yeah, I feel like we've been pretty good that all year. We get a guy on and, you know, kind of put some pressure on the pitcher and the defense. And, you know, we've had big bats all year. So, you know, good at bat by Vinny there, drive in and, yeah.
You just have that confidence, the team, that doesn't matter what the deficit is, late in the game even, you can come back?
Yeah, I think we know we're capable. We've proven that, obviously, through the experience that we've had doing it. I feel like it helps us out. We kind of have that momentum. And like I said, we get that leadoff man on, and, you know, you can kind of, things start to, it's palpable. You know, you can kind of feel it. So, yeah, just a good job by the offense.
I know you've talked in the past how it's just another opponent, but, you know, growing up so close to here and hit another home run, is it still special?
Yeah, I mean, it's, at this point, just trying to help team win. You know, obviously, being in a playoff race, and I'm not super worried about who we're playing or what the situation is. Just trying to put good at-bats together and do what I can to get us a run. So, yeah, it's always cool to do it with people I know in the stands, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, being professional and just trying to take good at-bats.
What's the approach, and what do you see there with that home run?
It's trying to stay on something. You know, he kind of got me the first inning with that changeup where I kind of roll over and try and use the whole field and stay on the ball and get it on the barrel.
How would you describe just his mix today, what he was able to do against you guys besides that home run?
It's just unpredictable. You know, I had the two-seam working or a sinker and kind of paired that with his cutter and his changeup. So it just seemed like he kind of had us off balance. And when we thought he was going away, he came in and vice versa. So just got to tip your cap. And Walk did a great job keeping us in that game until we get to the bullpen.
What's a day like this like for you guys with the trade deadline and kind of not knowing what's going on and then being able to add two players too? I know they're, one's here, one's not, but just being able to add.
Yeah, kind of a crazy day. You know, obviously you're kind of watching the TV like everyone else, and you know, super excited to have the guys that we got, and you know, I think they're going to help us a lot moving forward.
Does being you know, buyers at the deadline invigorate you guys at all, being able to add major league pieces?
Yeah, I mean, this is my first experience with it, so it's a heck of a lot better than being a seller and seeing guys go. And you know, obviously being in a position we are is a lot better than where we were last year, so just excited for the last couple months here, and you know, ready to compete.
Yeah, pretty cool to hear Michael Massey talk about being in a playoff race. Massey has 21 RBIs in 24 games against the White Sox. Let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis is already starting his Bobby Witt Jr. MVP chant on the text line. Interesting. Stefan writes in, Vern, I'm extremely impressed with what J.J. Piccolo accomplished in this seller's market. Loved his creativity to improve the club. Signed, Stefan. Grant writes in, Vern, in my humble opinion, the Royals still do not have a first-class closer. Grant, I would agree, but how many teams have a first-class closer? Would you consider Josh Hader a first-class closer? Of course, right? I've watched him serve it up way too many times this season. Do the Dodgers have a bona fide closer? I know they just added Michael Kopech, but Kopech's never pitched in a big game. Not at the big league level. I'll give you Cleveland. Cleveland, yeah, sure. They Emmanuel Clase. I'll give you Minnesota, Johan Duran. But Bobby hit a grand slam off of him. Again, Mariano Rivera, Wade Davis, the type of closer that you were hoping for. I just don't think, A, he was available. And honestly, I don't think the guy you wanted exists. Chris in Kansas City's love it on Hunter Renfro. Deservedly so. Renfro, again, on base three times today. Royals didn't have a single player with multi-hits. 913-586-7610. Carol in Lakewood is curious who the Royals are going to send down to make room for the additions. Well, I would certainly guess that Jonathan Bolin will be sent back to Omaha to make room for either Michael Lorenzen or Ursig. The other move, you know, Sam Long's the easiest because of his options. You have, what, four lefties? Long, Smith, Zerpa, Bubich. I don't know if parting ways with Will Smith is a good idea. I don't know if you want to send those ripples, well, not ripple, those waves of negativity through the clubhouse. Zerpa, to me, is the most fearless SOB you have out there. I don't want him going anywhere. And Chris Bubich, to me, is intriguing. Now, James MacArthur, do you think he needs to go get his confidence down in Omaha? I mean, he threw a scoreless ninth last night with a big help from Bobby Witt Jr., sure. Now, going back to what Mike said, do you think that the Royals would let Chris Stratton go? Pay him $5 million to leave. Now, I'm not going to say that Chris Stratton is as impactful on that clubhouse as Will Smith, but he's pretty darn impactful. He's like the father. If Will Smith is the cool uncle, Chris Stratton's like the dad out there in that bullpen. But if you're asking me who's the squeaky wheel out there, yeah, it's Chris Stratton. Sam Long's the easiest. Chris Stratton might be the right move. If you're trying to put together the best 13, you give Chris Stratton a pink slip. But because there's still one third of the season remaining, believe it or not, I know it feels as if, oh, it's almost over. There's still a third of the season remaining, exactly 54 games. Do you really want to part with anything? Do you really want to DFA, jettison anyone? Do you keep the inventory? Send Sam Long to Omaha? James MacArthur, go find some confidence? Keep Chris Stratton, and then when push comes to shove, maybe in September, or when an injury pops back up, well, then that's the way to get Sam Long back here. That's how I look at it, Carol. I appreciate it. Speaking of Sam Long, how can you talk about him on a night like this? Picks up his first save of the season and gets the Joel Goldberg treatment afterward. Here's Sam Long on the field after his 1-2-3-14 pitch ninth inning on Bally Sports Kansas City.
Good teams find different ways to win every night. And, you know, there's a room full of guys that are capable of stepping up. You know, it doesn't always have to be Bob. We got guys that, you know, love to win. And so for anyone on this roster, it's everyone loves to be that guy to step up. So,
well, you got all your bullpen guys that are going to congratulate you right now, James MacArthur and company. Tell me about that group out there. Not just that group, all the pitchers in this team. Your first year with the Royals, what's different about this group?
Coming in, I mean, we've said it since spring training. It had a different vibe to it. Just talking to guys that were here last year, they could already feel it. And as far as the group down there, we all get along. We all have fun down there. And when it's our turn to, you know, when our name is called, it's go time, ready to help the team win. So yeah, just everyone meshes really well.
It's not your first career save. You've had a few of them, four of them. How, if at all, is this ninth inning in a one-run game feel different to you?
I try to break it down to it's me versus you in the box. And so that keeps it pretty simple. I know what I want to do game plan-wise, and just trying to execute pitches and, you know, just help the team. You know, like, I go out there, I want to help the team win, and so whatever spot that is, it's go time.
All right, last thing, I did a short report on what you and I talked about earlier. You'll do it more justice right now. You know more about Lucas Erceg than almost anybody here, going all the way back to childhood. What are the Royals getting?
They're getting a competitor, someone who's not afraid to take the ball a lot, all the time. He's ready to take the ball. Like, that's his MO. He's ready to go no matter what. And he's going to compete his butt off. He and I grew up playing against each other. He was always the biggest, strongest dude hitting bombs. I mean, he was hitting bombs up until a few years ago, and now he just decided to go switch it up and throw 99. So he's that type of guy. He's that type of athlete. He's that type of talent. And as far as a teammate, he's going to fit in just, you know, he's going to fit in great down there. So we're excited to get him.
There you go. Sam Long after the game with Joel Goldberg. And there at the end, talking about the newest Royal, Lucas Erceg. 98-99 with the fastball, really good slider. And again, the thing I keep coming back to is a tweet sent out by former A's lefty Dallas Braden, who's now a part of the A's television broadcast. You remember Dallas Braden, he threw a perfect game for the A's about a decade and a half ago. But he tweeted out, and again, the reason why I give this so much credence is because, A, he's a former big leaguer. And B, by being on the television broadcast, those guys see a lot. Behind the scenes, they get to see who you really are. Not who you are in front of a camera, but who you are behind closed doors. At the hotel, on the bus, on the plane. That's why, again, guys like Rex Hudler, they're dropping knowledge left and right on the television broadcast when he joins Stu on the radio. These guys know what they're talking about. Not only do they play at the highest level, but they now observe at a level that you and I, that most people, don't see. Dallas Braden tweets out, Royals fans, you're getting a dude who will do anything to win a baseball game. A guy who will pitch anywhere and at any time for however long he's asked. He has great stuff and is a competitor. I will root for Lucas wherever he goes. Kansas City, you've got a good one. Take care of him. And that gets me juiced. That coupled with the stuff. I mean, that's everything you ask for. I understand that he hasn't pitched in a playoff race. He hasn't pitched in a big home game in his life, right? 2 years in the show, both in Oakland. But like I mentioned earlier, the perfect closer either was not available, was too expensive, or did not exist. So I honestly think you did just about as good as you can do. I did like hearing Sam Long say, you know, someone else can do the heavy lifting on this team. It doesn't always have to be Bobby. Bobby did tie the game up. Tied it up with that RBI bloop into center field. Bobby goes 1-for-3 with a walk. Bobby's hitting .532 across his 12-game hitting streak. .532. 12-game hitting streak. Wow. Over the course of that streak, he has 13 runs driven in, and he himself has scored 13 runs. Wow. Well, we're back at it tomorrow, 12 noon for the On Deck Show, Royals, White Sox, Brady Singer, and Drew Thorpe. Thanks to Grant Nicholson for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Royals win 4-3. They go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. I'll talk to you at noon. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, stay fair.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.